For I am not ashamed, Paul writes, of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it, meaning the good news, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then unto the Gentile, meaning all people.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Welcome back, everyone, to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of 2 Timothy today. In the teaching from Paul's letter to Timothy, Paul says, "I am not ashamed to share in the sufferings of Christ, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." So let's join Pastor for today's message, Nevertheless.
Let me read one verse to you, and that'd be the 12th verse, where Paul says, "For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless." Everyone say that word, "Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." And the church says,
amen.
Let us pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord. Help me this morning, this short time that I have with your people. I just pray that I simply decrease, Lord. I just pray you just consume me, overwhelm me, and Lord, use me for your glory and fill my heart and my mind and my spirit only with the words you would have me say. And as I say them, may the sheep of your pasture, your people, may their ears and their hearts be open to receive the implanted word of God that saves our soul. Lord God, thank you for that. And Lord, one more request before we get into your precious word this morning. Please send us rain. Please, Lord, I mean rain, the Texas rain, the heavy rain. Lord, dogs and cats, you know, the whole thing, Lord. Just let it rain in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. I love 2 Timothy. You know that. I every time I've taught it, I think it's my fourth time to teach through this book or this epistle. It's a prison epistle, but it's a pastoral epistle, but it's also something more. It is from the heart of the greatest apostle that has ever walked the face of this earth, and his name is Paul. Amen. And he is writing to the son of his faith, his beloved son, to Timothy. The word Timothy, as we already know, means he who honors God. And Timothy certainly did that. And so we have these 83 verses in 2 Timothy. This is Paul's farewell address. We'll never hear from Paul the apostle again, never anything until we get to heaven to be with him. Paul the apostle, he knows there in the Mamertine prison, there in Rome, that's where he penned it, he knows he's going to be executed. Paul knows that his race is over, and he writes one of the most passionate, loving epistles found in Scripture. I adore 2 Timothy from this man's heart, who loved Jesus with all of his heart, but he loved people with all of his heart. He is a writer of 13, I believe, 14 books of the New Testament. And so when we look this morning at all that's going on, Paul says about the end of his life, he uses the word nevertheless. That's a word that we should often use no matter what we're facing in this life. Nevertheless, whatever's happening, Jesus is going to be with me. Amen. And so Paul the apostle, we begin in verse 8 now, and let's look what he says with this command to Timothy. He uses the word, he says, "Therefore, Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me as prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God." So we could write it like this: "Therefore, Calvary Chapel," or "Therefore, Timothy, don't be ashamed." "Therefore" takes us back to verse 7 and gives us the reason that we are to never, ever, no believer is ever to be ashamed. Remember, we learned it last Sunday in verse 7 where Paul writes, he says, to Timothy and to the church today, for God has not given us a spirit of God hasn't given us that. And remember, the word fear there is not the fear that, like we would say, I'm afraid. In the Greek, it would be phobos or phobos, however it's pronounced. I'm not a Greek scholar, and neither are you, right? But you probably, that sounded good to me, Bill. So it's not phobos or phobos. It is deilia in the Greek, which means cowardness. Remember what we studied last Sunday. Christians are not cowards because we're new creations in Christ, and God has not given us the spirit of cowardness. Amen? But what has He given us? He has given us three incredible divine characteristics by the power of the Holy Spirit. He says, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Amen? We have those things working in our hearts, in our lives right now. And so we're not cowards. We're the church fearless. Amen? We're the church, are we fearless? Three of us? Oh man, this is going to be a tough service already. I might as well just come on down and sit down there. That's a joke. Loved one, listen to me. Verse 7 gives us everything we need to face verse 8. That's what Paul was saying. In other words, verse 8 is about suffering for Jesus. It's about suffering for the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Listen, he says, don't be ashamed of that. He says, Timothy, don't be ashamed. And this is for the church today more than any other time. He says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. But what he's really saying is, don't be ashamed to testify to other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen. Man, and that's not telling us that Timothy was ashamed, because Timothy wasn't ashamed. He was a great man of God. It literally would read in the Greek this way, Timothy, don't start being ashamed. Why would Paul warn him about that? The thing is that remember the persecution, the slaughter of Christians, they were being burned at the stake, they were being tarred and crucified and then lit on fire by Nero, they were fed to the lions. It was a horrible, horrible time. So he says, don't start, Timothy. Listen, you are in a war, and it's a horrible time that we're in right now. And listen, it was a dangerous time to be a Christian, amen? Back then, not only was it a dangerous time, but listen, just to be associated with Paul, would that get you in trouble? It'd get you in prison. Did they know about Timothy? Did Rome know about Timothy? Of course they did. Listen, to be associated or associate yourself with Christ could mean death. People were running out of Rome. The Christians were fleeing because of what was going on. So he tells them, he says, listen, don't be ashamed. You just keep up the good fight. You keep sharing Jesus Christ and you go forward. Why? Because we're not the church ashamed, are we? No, and we're never going to be ashamed. Listen, we know today, just like then, we know there is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be saved than Jesus Christ. What did he say? Jesus said in John 14:6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. There's no other way. Is there any other name given unto us by which man can be saved on this planet? No. Acts 4:12, there is one name, and the name is Jesus Christ. Amen. There is one Savior. There is only one true gospel. The gospel we have came from heaven. Every other gospel, if there will, anything that's perverted on this planet does not come from God. It's perverted. It's from man. It's from the wicked one. John 8:44, the father of all lies. So there's only one God, and there's only one Savior, and there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for our sins. Amen? 1 Timothy, I think it's 2:5. So with all that being said, listen carefully now, to call yourself a Christian. Now you may be a baby Christian. You may be a teenage Christian. You may be a middle-aged Christian. You may be an elderly Christian like some of y'all. But we're all growing up, right? And I know that maybe baby Christians, usually they're on fire for the Lord. They don't have a problem sharing Christ. It's after, you know, they get around the older Christians, they burn out. Oh, that's good, wasn't it? Yeah, and so here's the deal. You know, we don't want to be afraid ever to share and never be ashamed to share the Lord. You know, I told you this story. It's a true story, and I hate to even tell it, but it's a truth. I was a young believer. I mean, I don't think I had been saved a year, and or maybe it was 2 years. And I was at the DFW and at the American Airlines Center. I don't even know who I was picking up, but I had to pick him up. And so there was where you sit down. You wait there in the waiting room. You know, this was back then when you could just wait anywhere you wanted, right? There was no armed guards. There was not, you know what I'm saying. You know, and so I'm sitting down in this back row, and the planes are out there. I'm waiting for them to come out of the thing. And this is one row, it's against the wall, but that was the only place for me to sit in. And then everybody was facing me. In other words, just like right now. And so I was looking at everybody, and, you know, I'm just waiting on the person, whoever it was, to get off the plane. And I felt the Lord say, stand up. Tell them that I'm coming soon. You know what I did? I grabbed the bottom of that chair with my hands, and I just froze. Oh, come on. I know you wouldn't have done that. You know? And that, you know, I've never disobeyed him after that. Never. When he tells me, I'll stand. I don't care where I'm at. I'm not ashamed to share Jesus Christ. But we grow. Now, listen, if you are ashamed, if you are cowardness, if you have that and I just can't tell anybody about the Lord, then verse 7 is not working in your life. Do you hear me? I love you, and I'm not being mean to you, but verse 7 is not operating in your life. The power of God and the Holy Spirit there, the sound mind and all those things, the spirit of cowardness is working. We will never be ashamed to share Jesus Christ with others. Amen. Remember what Jesus said about being ashamed of him? It says in Luke 9:26, Jesus said, well, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, isn't it amazing that you can't separate Jesus from the Word of God? They go together. If anyone is ashamed of me, if anyone doesn't want anything to do with me, disowns me, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, here it comes, him, the Son of Man, will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. So think about that. Talking about the second coming. Listen, you know, I'm not ashamed of the Lord. I'm ashamed of me. You know what I'm saying? No, listen, if you're ashamed of Jesus now, do you think you might be ashamed if the rapture happened? Let me tell you what the Bible says about that. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him. And when he appears, when Jesus comes, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Listen, abide in him, have fellowship with him. So we have to ask ourselves a question. If we are ashamed and we abide, the Spirit of God abides in us, we have to say, well, I wonder how much of the Spirit of God has me if I'm ashamed to share Christ with lost people. Now, I'm not in any way saying you're at work and you know what I mean? And here I am, I'm working and I'm going to share Christ and open my Bible while I'm working. No, you're paid to work, not paid to share Christ. Amen? Now, what a tough bunch, isn't it? I swear. No. You know, so here, when we're looking at this, he says, don't be ashamed to share Christ. Now, look at the next part. He says, don't be ashamed, Timothy, of me, his prisoner. Isn't that interesting? He says, his prisoner, meaning Jesus's prisoner. He says, I'm not Nero's prisoner. I'm not here because of Nero. He says, my heart, my will, my life is chained to the King of Kings. And you know what? Rome didn't bring me here, but my Savior did. And I'm not ashamed of it at all. I'm not ashamed of where I'm going to end up. I'm not ashamed at anything. And he says, don't be ashamed, Timothy, and we should not be either. He says, but join with me, be a partaker with me of the sufferings for the sake of the gospel, the good news. In other words, if we're going to suffer, let's suffer what the Bible tells us to suffer for. Amen? Isn't it amazing that we can go out today and we can, you know, some people, like in the tent ministry, you're out there in the park and you share Christ, and some people, it doesn't bother them. They're, okay, good, good. And some people get mad. They don't want to hear it. Isn't it amazing that you go and you tell people, listen, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Heaven is a real place. Hell is a real place. He took your shame. He took your place. He loves you. He wants you to be in heaven forever and ever and ever with him. All you have to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart and really mean that. And they go, don't talk to me. I'm my own man. I'm my own woman. And all you did was tell them, hey, this is the way it is. This is the truth. How could that offend anybody? Well, the natural man doesn't discern the things of the Spirit, does he? See, the Bible tells us this, Romans 1:16. It says, for I am not ashamed, Paul writes. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it, meaning the good news, the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and then unto the Gentile, meaning all people. Beloved, think about that. All you have to do when a person believes the good news, instantly they are a new creation in Christ. They were dead, now they're made alive. Listen, if you study out the gospel, here's what you need to know about the good news. The good news is not about you. It's not about me. It's what God has already done for us. Amen? Oh, God, thank the Lord for all those things. You know, D.L. Moody said this about the power of the gospel. He said, the gospel is like a lion. And all the preacher has to do is open the door of the cage and get out of the way. I like that. Now listen, what the gospel, the good news, has done for Paul, what it did for Timothy, it has done for you and me. Look at verse 9, an incredible verse. Remember, Paul is penning this from prison. He says, listen, God who has saved us, who's called us with a holy calling, setting us apart, that is, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time began. Oh, Lord, how could we, the church, ever be ashamed of what our God has done? It says there, who has saved us. That's past tense. How did that happen? 1 Timothy 1:15, let me read it to you. Paul writes, this is a faithful saying. It's certain, it's sure. He says, and it's worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul says, Jesus came to save sinners. I'm the number one sinner in all the world, is what Paul was saying, because he persecuted the church. Remember, listen, Jesus, why did Jesus come? Remember, what is it, Luke 19:10? Jesus, for I have come to seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus, did Jesus come to this world the first time? Did he come to condemn this world? No, John 3:17, it says, for God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world might be saved through him. Man, I thank God for that. And it says he's called us with something else. Look at it. He's called us with a holy calling, holy calling. Ephesians 4:1, I beseech you, brethren, he says that you walk worthy of the calling by which you were called. Walk worthy. Remember what worthy means? It's a picture. Worthy is a picture of a set of weights, and where a Christian is perfectly balanced. In other words, you hear the word of God, you do the word of God. If you only hear the word of God, hear the word of God, and never do the word of God, you're not balanced, are you? So it's equal in hearing and equal in doctrine, or equal in doing. So that's how you have a worthy walk of the calling by which you were called. And so, you know, it was that holy calling that he has called us. Aren't you glad that God, when he called you, when he saved you, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light? He called you out of the power of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Let me tell you something. God has never called a Christian to be ashamed. God has never called a Christian to be a coward. And God has never, ever called a Christian to fail. Amen? Never. He loves us. And when we fail, isn't it great that we can run to him? It's absolutely, loved one. Listen, here's the deal. It says, and he's called us what? Not according to our works. We're saved by grace. Amen? By faith, through grace, we have nothing to boast about. Amen? No, we're created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 and 10. Oh, I am so thankful for all that God has done. Listen to me now. It is always by grace that we're saved. If we're saved by grace, it can never be works, okay? You can't earn your way to heaven. Jesus purchased it for us, didn't he? Now, I want you to look at the next one. Who called us, and I love this one, who called us according to his own purpose and grace. Can you believe that? Let me give you a scripture for that. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good, meaning that God causes all things, no matter what they are, to work together for good. It doesn't mean that everything is good, but God works it for good. He'll come into the midst of it and he'll make it work out. Amen? So we know that God works all things together for good to those who are the called. That's you. That's me. The called according to his purpose. Man, according to his purpose, meaning God's plan for you in this life. Now here it comes. Watch this. And he takes us into the past. It says, for whom he, God, foreknew, that's past tense, he knew you beforehand, believe it or not. He also predestined, he marked out, to be conformed to the image of his son. Now listen carefully. There are those pastors, Bible colleges, Bible seminaries, and denominations, they love the Lord, okay? But they have taken the word predestined and made it this beautiful word that it is, because this word is from God. It's God-breathed. It's scripture. Amen? Made this beautiful, beautiful word a very ugly word by redefining what predestined means. Listen, you will not find anywhere in your Bible that God has chosen you, chosen a person in any generation, and picked them out, selected them, and predestined them to go to hell forever and ever and ever. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says this. Jesus said in Matthew 25:41, he says, hell was not made for man. It was made for the devil and his angels. Amen? So when someone says, well, you know, this person was predestined. No. It's never used of unsaved people. Predestined in Scripture is always used of those who are already saved. And listen, here's what's so beautiful. What is the goal of God's purpose and God's predestination? What is the goal? To be conformed into the very image of his own son. Praise God. Amen. That's what we're predestined to. We're going from glory to glory to glory into Christ's likeness. Now, and he goes on in Romans 8:30 and he says this, and whomever he predestined, past tense, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified, declared as if you'd never sinned before because you're in Christ. And whom he justified, another past tense, there he also glorified. Glorification is our future event. Yet in Scripture, God just said, or he speaks, as though that event had already taken place in the eyes of God. Now that's grace. God says, in my eyes, I see you as the finished thing. You follow me? The finished product. God sees you right now, Ephesians 2:6, seated with Christ in the heavenlies. He sees that is our position. I'm not experiencing that I know of, but I know it's true. In God's eyes, that's where we are because we're in Christ Jesus. Man, so all of those were in the past tense. And as far as God is concerned, they're already completed. Now listen, those five truths from those scriptures in Romans, they can never be changed. They can never be altered. Now, when does this happen? Or when did that happen? Look at verse 9 now. All these things which was given to us, we didn't earn it, which was given to us, how? In Christ Jesus before what? Time began. Isn't that unbelievable? There's not a person in this room that's not ruled by time. I'm ruled by time. I know that I can only go so long because the stones will start flying. No. Given to us in Christ before time. Listen, Ephesians 1:4 says this, that God chose you, God chose me in him, meaning Jesus, before time began, before the foundation of this earth. Think about that. I mean, before there was ever a Timex. Hello.
Pastor Bill will return tomorrow to finish out the week with the conclusion to today's message. And we do encourage you to tune in once again. May the Lord encourage you today as you go about your day to remain steadfast in the faith and never lose heart. The race is worth running, amen? God bless, and so long for today. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.